Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host from Locked On Avalanche, Chris Maselli. With me, as always, playing, I don't know, it sounds like a didgeridoo or something over on the other side, moving the microphone around.
Just moving it around.
Yeah.
Had all the time in the world to move it, but I just waited.
You did. I mean, you literally had pretty much all day, and then you decide, you know, as I'm doing the intro to get things in order. So thank you for that, Mr. Mixtape. Adam Danky Dank Danker from Locked On Lightning. What's going on, my man?
I had a week to make up for to get this going. But yeah, glad to be back. Was in the studio making mad beats. And like to thank Kanye West for supplying me his room in the Mercedes Dome. So
explain that to me, because you sent me a text message about, or I don't even know if you want to get into it. I don't know what that was all about. You sent me a text message about something with Kanye West, and I was none the wiser. I don't know what the heck you were talking about.
We'll have to go back to the transcript. Okay. Back to the show. All right. But yeah, a lot has happened. I am kind of hoping, but at the same time, not hoping, because I do love doing the rankings, but I stated before we start recording, imagine if the Eichel trade breaks while we're recording.
we'll stop. We'll stop what we're doing, and we will hone in on that. But I mean, odds that it happens. I mean, anything is possible right now, because this thing needs to go down. I'm getting so tired of this. This is almost like when like LeBron James and the when he was making his decision to go I was
time?
Interested in that. Yeah, right. And then it was just like, come on, let's get it over with. This is kind of in that realm. It's just this guy needs to play some hockey and get out on the ice. And
I just look at it. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. And I look at it as watching two people in college just slowly break up throughout the course of a year. And they say they're going to do it and they never do. And it's just, you get to that boiling point where you're screaming, just break up already.
But if it happens, we will obviously discuss it. Up until then, though, we are our power ranking Thursday. So again, like, we are still, I think, in the process of week to week, things are changing. And I think it's going to be another month or so before things start to like really even out. You don't see as much shifting in the rankings as you do right now. But let's get into them for this week. If you're following on YouTube, you're going to see them up on the screen right now. And they'll be up for the duration of the show. And but if you're listening through regular means in your car, on your phone, we'll go through them as we usually do. We'll kind of talk about the rankings as a whole, the teams that have risen, the teams that are falling, and kind of where we think teams are going for the week ahead. So I typically run through the top 10. And we have a new number one, which lasts for the past 2 weeks. It was the Florida Panthers. The Carolina Hurricanes take over the top spot. The Panthers drop down to number two. So those two flip-flop. Oilers stand pat at number three. Capitals stand pat at number four. The Blues move up two spots to number five. The Lightning, your Lightning, move down a spot from five to six. The Rangers move up to number seven from number 11. The Flames, pretty big movers there. They were 14 last week, number 8 this week. My Avalanche move up one spot. They had a pretty good week last week, from 10 to 9. And their division rivals moved down from number 9 to number 10. So those two swap spots, and that rounds out the top 10. So overall, general thoughts on what we got here as our power rankings for this week, Mr. Denker?
Well, I think the Canes and Panthers flip-flopping, I think that's just subject to how you feel about each team. I think the question is they have identical numbers.
Yeah. Did the Panthers do enough to lose? And keep in mind, this is from last week. We vote on these. And once again, I do want to reiterate this, because Adam and I have been called some some names in the fiction, thinking that we are the only ones. And I said this last week when Gil filled in for you. We are not the only two that comes up with these. Everybody in the Locked On NHL side of things gets a vote. So this is a culmination of all the voting. And so,
I would just like to even add a little bit more, you know, to that is that since we're being honest here, I don't even vote. I just do it because I don't vote at all because I feel like I would be just be placing the Lightning at number one.
Well, see, you have
every week.
You can't do that, dude. You need to be impartial.
I can't.
And I can't. I'm not. I don't have my Avalanche anywhere near the top. I think I had them right around where they were.
Rank them dead last every week.
See, and that is voter fraud, my friend. But so you have, the Panthers were 8-0-1. And again, the Carolina has not lost yet. So they're 8-0. So
I just think
points-wise, where are they?
Yeah.
16-17. So, you know, the Panthers have one more point.
I just look at the Panthers as to the only reason why you would put them at two is right at this moment would be because of the whole coaching situation going on there. You don't really know what kind of team this is going to be without Quinville for the long run. I look at.
I think I still put them at number one and the Canes at number two, but I don't have a problem with the Canes. I mean, they are the last remaining overall unbeaten team.
Unblemished.
So fine. And that's why, like, the next month or two goes on, this will all kind of like even itself out. But for right now, when you still have a team that has a zero and a zero in those last two columns, they're going to be number one, I feel.
Yeah.
But kind of a takeaway that I'm getting from this. And if you look at that power ranking, once you get to, let's see, like kind of around right around where the Avalanche are at number nine, you go down to basically like number 29 at the Senators. Points wise, everybody's in it, man. Like,
yeah,
you know, the Avs got 8 points. They have a few less games than everybody else, but there's some other eights in there. There's 11, there's 12, you got 10, there's you know, right down to the Kraken in the Senators, they have 7. Even Montreal has 6. I guess if you even want to remove the Kings, the Kraken, and the Senators, so then go to number 26, where the Canucks have 9, right?
Yeah.
Everybody is still. I know it's, you know, we're only a month into the season, but there's not a big discrepancy. There's no big drop off in points from where the Avalanche are at number 9 to where, let's even, like I said, 26, where the Canucks are. With 9 points. Pretty crazy. And that's the beauty of hockey is the, you know, the parity in the sport.
Yeah, it really is. And we did state a couple of weeks ago at the start of this, how you were going to see some teams that really were just big surprises. And I guess that we could start with just a surprise. I mean, I think I speak for both of us when I say the Sharks are just unbelievable right now. And that's why it makes, for me at least, the Canucks so disappointing, because I look at the Canucks and I really thought they were going to get off to the kind of start that the Sharks would. But like you said, I mean, hockey's just a weird sport when it comes to these kind of things.
Sharks stood pat at 13.
Yeah.
13 last week, 13 this week. And they're that team, I think, them and the Sabres.
Yeah.
The Sabres are at 14. I feel like those are two teams that nobody really wants to put super high yet.
Yeah.
And either fit in right where they should be. Are they top 10 team right now? I don't think so. Are they high teens? Yeah. And I'm okay with them right now being at 13, 14. And if they can do this over the course of the next month, then and other teams will maybe kind of fall flat a little bit. And if they can keep it up, then maybe we're talking, you know, we're approaching top 10 status. But I think people are just like treading lightly with teams like, you know, the Sharks and the Sabres for putting them too high just because they weren't expected to do so well. And they are in the early going of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's a lot of people are looking at that as if you put them too high, you're going to expect things to fall off the table relatively quickly with that. And really, I mean, I look at some of these teams and it's, I feel like where they ranked and even in the standings is still like not an accurate reflection of how they've played thus far. I feel right. like the Rangers, who are ranked 7 here, but are one of the top teams in the league, even then with their record, they have played some very tough games. I mean, you look at how the Rangers yeah. have been playing this season. They're not really so much dominating, but they're just, you could just see if you watch a Rangers game, just how much effort is being put into these games. I mean, Igor Shesterkin is probably a way too early to tell candidate for the Vezina this year.
Yeah.
Even the Capitals too, with their goaltenders, both their young goaltenders, just how well they've been playing. It really is. I think the Capitals, who the Lightning have had the privilege of playing twice already, just a really good team that you and I both said in the beginning of the season, we really thought this was going to possibly be the year when their age was going to show, and they haven't. They look like it's 2018 yeah. right now.
Well, that's true, but I also remember saying, you know, for me, they're as fresh as everybody else is for the rest of it. What are you drinking out of a tree trunk over there, dude? Jesus. What the heck is that thing?
I got this that's from Animal Kingdom a couple of years ago.
Animal Kingdom. You got that from Lord of the Rings, man. Holy crap. All right. Yeah. So, well, let's hear from betonline.ag and then yep. we'll kind of keep this going, because there's a couple teams I want to throw out at you, and if it's unfair where they're at. But first, BetOnline. It's, you know, back and better than ever with a new web interface for the start of the basketball season, with more prop bets, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all of the basketball and football action this season, which I have tapped out of. Thank you to the Von Miller trade. I am pretty much done with football season this year. Head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website and sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus from basketball, football, baseball. There's no longer baseball. We're done with baseball. Yeah, go Braves. Well, you still have the NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. It's where the game starts, at betonline.ag. All right. So what I want to throw out at you, are the Flyers, they're at 17. And if you just look at the standings, you know, point wise where they are number 11 when it comes to points. They're 5-2-1 on the season. They're 17 this week. They were 17 last week, so they haven't moved. Should they be higher? And if they should, you know, where should they be slotted in? Or do you feel like they're okay where they're at?
The Flyers, when we go back to the first couple episodes, and I've been saying this for a while, the Flyers are one of those teams that if they just got off to a good start and were in, at least in it to start the season, they were one of those teams that could definitely be in contention for the division. If you look at their schedule to start the regular season, they've had a couple of tough losses and close games. They've won where they needed to. They kept it close with Florida. They beat Boston. They absolutely annihilated Seattle. They played Edmonton very well and beat them as well. And so I think that a lot of people, when you look at these rankings, I think the reason why they're ranked where they are is just because, like we stated earlier, you don't want to rank a team too high and then have them completely come up as a dud in the subsequent games. And I think a lot of that has to do with Carter Hart. I think a lot of people are still waiting to see what exactly how he's going to perform over the course of the season. Cause you know, we're only in November and we just got done with month one. And what you said before, and I've been saying this on Lockdown Lightning, just with a lot of teams, you're going to see towards the end of December, a lot of teams find their identity for the regular season. And I think what we see by New Year's is really what's going to play out for the rest of the NHL season.
Cause here's the interesting thing with the Flyers, and we, you know, power rankings are obviously subjective, and a lot of it is, you know, where you start. And I mean, look at the Lightning and look at the Avalanche, our teams. Yeah. They started 1-2, and you know, because they started there, they're still hanging on to top 10 spots, despite not getting off to great starts. You look at the Flyers, and they have as many points as the Lightning, and they have a game in hand.
Yeah.
So, and they haven't moved. They're at 17. But on the flip side of that, you look at a team like the Sabres. The Sabres have the same exact record as the Lightning in as many games. You know, they have 11 points. They're 5-3-1. So the Lightning, or excuse me, the Flyers have the same amount of points with a game in hand on both of those teams, and they're below both of them. And they started between them. So you know what I mean? So it's, oh, I get it why the Lightning would be above them, but we propped the Sabres up immensely because we thought they were so bad and they're doing so well, and they bypassed teams like the Flyers.
Yeah.
So it just sometimes these things don't make sense. And I think this is a perfect reason as to why I had the Flyers higher. Not incredibly higher, but I think they're better than number 17, in my opinion.
No, I agree with you. I think they're at least top 15. Think just for what division they play in, for who they have on their team. And I think that's why a lot of people are ranking the Sabres so high. It has to go back to personnel. A lot of people, including myself, some people are saying that the Sabres personnel is overperforming. And really, how sustainable is that going to be over the course of a season? Where the Flyers, this is not as surprising, but at the same time, like I mentioned before, it comes down to goaltending. And it's just a weird scenario with each of these teams. And I think that's how you have to approach each ranking as to why was this team in this spot? Well, it's because of a XYZ certain amount of special circumstances.
Right. And another team obviously on the rise. I think they're one of the bigger movers of the week. Calgary.
Yeah.
Cracking the top 10, 14 to number 8. They're playing. They're playing well right now. They're 6-1-2 on the season, 14 points. You know, we touched on it in the very beginning. Maybe Jack Eichel is on the way in. You told me off air the semi Kings ransom they'd have to give up to get Eichel. But do you go after that? I mean, you're starting off very well right now. You know, you give up what they are rumored to give up to get him. How much do you upset what you've accomplished so far? You know what I mean?
I don't see a reason as to why you play around with it. I don't see a reason as to why you make a move unless you have to. I mean, why give up the Kings ransom for Eichel when if you need to make a move to bring some people in to help you out if you're hitting a rut in the middle of a season, whether it's because of performance or because of injuries, wait. There's no reason to bring Eichel in. Eichel is not going to immediately help you for what you're going to give up. So especially when you're giving up someone like Matthew Tkachuk, who is probably going to be your future captain at some point in the next couple of years. I think... Right. Yeah, it's a sexy trade on paper for Calgary, and you're going to be definitely going to be the talk of the town around the NHL because you have one of the top players in the league. But at the same time, at what cost is it going to come? And why would you mess with the mojo when you're, I think someone said the other day, I was listening to one of the podcasts saying it's one of the best starts that Calgary's had in their franchise history. So why mess with that?
Yeah, I'm sure they were, you know, thinking about getting involved with the Eichel situation a while ago. You know, this is not like brand new to them, but I think they're getting off to a start that they, I mean, I don't think anybody expected the Flames to get off to a start like this.
No.
You know what I mean? So now it's a question of, do you think you can sustain this over the course of a season? Do you think you have the team to do it? So that's what they're playing with right now. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in the front office of that team, because if you do and it goes south for a little while, you are going to have a annoyed fan base. You are going to have Vegas fans. It's going to be Vegas like atmosphere in who they just hate everything. I love you, Vegas. No, I don't. All right, let's talk about Vegas and the Golden Knights, because they dropped one more spot to 22. They're the other team kind of rumored to bring in Eichel. I don't know how the heck they do it. If they're just going to like they have to be cheating the system somehow if they bring in Eichel and don't give up half their roster. I don't know how they do it. I really don't know how. The Knights are in trouble, injury wise. Lots of guys still to come back. You kind of think they sit here for a little while, or do you think they are more of a team that could land Eichel and just deal with being in a cap crunch for a while, which is, it's not what you want, but Vegas doesn't seem to care.
I guess if this was any other NHL franchise, I think we would probably both agree and say, well, sit there, weather the storm. And I mean, you spent a boatload of money on the players that you have already. Let them earn that money, because especially in this economy right now, how are you going to even move those guys? How are you going to even convince teams to take on that much money without having to retain a certain amount? Where then again, Vegas has proven that they're not afraid to move players in and out. I mean, they moved Marc-Andre Fleury out in the offseason.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a great situation having him and Robin Leonard. And now look what's happening now. It's not so much working out as well as you thought it would. Did it. So I don't know what Vegas, they're a wild card. I mean, I could see them trying to make a trade, but like you said, how is it going to financially work for this team?
I have no
idea.
If
you bring in Jack Eichel, unless you somehow hold out hopes for the playoffs and just have him sit out till then again, if that's the case, you're basically wasting a season of a superstar's career. Yeah. So they risky call that, situation.
They call that pulling a Tampa is what they is what they say in the NHL circles. So
Come on. That was one cup ago. That was one cup ago.
That's old cup news. Anaheim, they moved up a little bit. I mean, they went from 29 to 25. They got 11 points on the season. And, you know, the Flyers have 11 points. The Sabres have 11 points. The Lightning have 11 points. So they are the team with the most points at the lowest spot in here. Why is this like a two-headed, like with the Sabres and the Sharks, we're like, yeah, we'll prop them up. But with the Ducks, they've been in that mid to low 20s, all of these power rankings. Is it just because the Sharks and the Sabres are a nice story, so we want to give them some credit while we can, and it's the Ducks, like we're just not going to do that with them?
I just think that for a lot of people, including me, I just don't think the Ducks move the needle right now.
I haven't looked at their schedule either. I mean, has it been an easy schedule up to this point? I don't know.
I haven't checked on. I mean, that's part of the reason why they don't move the needle. I don't really check in on their schedule like that, but. I don't know. I just think that the Sharks, with their recent success, and just, I mean, they've just absolutely been a train wreck and everything going around. And you could easily pitch the storyline with the Sharks saying, well, you know, look at this team now, how they're performing without Evander Kane in the locker room. You know, now they're just doing this to spite him and play better. And look how well they play. And then the Sabres, obviously the joke of the NHL, in the offseason, and just obviously everything with Eichel. Whereas the Ducks, there's no drama. They're just a team who's just rebuilding. I mean, that's just really what it comes down to. And who have a young superstar in Travis Zegras. So that's not a storyline that's really going to prop them up yet. They're going to probably have to jump to the top of the division for them to get any more respect than what they already have.
So here's who they've beaten. They opened up the season. They beat Winnipeg. They beat Calgary in overtime, but then follow that up with three losses, overtime loss, five losses, and then another overtime loss. So six losses in a row, but three of them were overtime losses. So they still got points out of them. But that's a long, maybe that's why, because we're just seeing, you know, if those were W's, they'd be a lot higher. So, and then they beat Montreal, big whoop, and New Jersey.
Who hasn't?
Middle of the road. Yeah. I think you and I beat Montreal. we'll talk about kind of the bottom feeders here. And it had the last three have not changed. Montreal at 30, Arizona at 31, despite the single point that they have, and Chicago at 32. I am okay with that. And, yeah. And for me, Chicago at 32 for the last 2 weeks, especially this last week, right now it has nothing to do with what's going on with the Kyle Beach situation. It's just that, you know, you're basing it on this year and for these rankings specifically last week. I was one of those guys. I think you were too. You just thought the Blackhawks were going to be a competitive team this year, not a team that's going to win the whole thing,
no,
but be in contention. And as bad as they are for a team, when you have that, at least that expectation for them, and yeah, they're that god awful, they deserve to be at 32, even below a team that has a single point on the season. That is bad.
Yeah, I think that's why they are exactly where they are. It's because the expectations and the reality are just so on opposite sides, yeah, of where, you know, they are. It's really, and I don't know what, and obviously this drama that's been surrounding them and continues to surround them is not helping the situation whatsoever. So, I mean, they would have to go on some sort of crazy winning streak. And I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if that would help their chances, because I feel like, you know, especially with all the emotions and everything that's surrounding this team and how people view this team, and that's no fault to the other hosts or people that just look at this team, the fans, I don't see how this team can have what we could call a successful year, because regardless of their record, I mean, it's, you're still going to be looked at as like the top, the lowest team in the league just because of everything that's going on off the ice. But yeah, the Coyotes, I mean, I think we expected them to be where they are.
Right.
The Canadiens, it's gotten so bad now. Cole Caulfield got sent down the other day.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, never.
He yeah, was the favorite going in to be the Calder, like by a wide margin.
I know.
And that just proves, I mean, long term, Cole Caulfield is going to be a fantastic player for Montreal. It yeah, just goes to show you, sometimes guys just catch lightning in a bottle. Nobody's prepared for them because they're so young.
Yeah.
And this is what happens when you give professional teams an off season to prepare for a young player.
Yeah.
They come in and it's tough to replicate what they did the year before. It doesn't mean he's not going to be able to do it in the future. It just means he needs a little bit more seasoning right now.
Yeah. We'll have to see if he could get it together in the minors. But the good news is that it looks like that, Carey Price, his 30 days in that players program that he was yeah, in, yeah, is up. But so hopefully that means he'll come back to the team, and, you know, I assume he's staying in shape and doing all the things he needs to be doing. So it's not like we're going to have to wait a couple of weeks for Carey Price to come back, but hopefully
how much shape you need to be in to be a goalie.
I don't know if you want to put on that thread.
Emails are open.
Yeah, hit up his DMs, not mine.
Yeah.
but I think maybe you get Carey Price in, he kind of gets a handle on the clubhouse and just yeah, goes from there. And then Cole Caulfield comes back when he's ready. And you know what? We could talk about this team getting their act together. I really, yeah, the team that I really like that I think is going to kind of make a little bit of a jump up in the rankings, I really like the Red Wings. And
yeah, man. Another,
they're a team that
they are
really
a solid team.
They're another team that I didn't really expect to be this good, or just kind of was wishful thinking that they weren't going to be this good just because they're in the same division as the Lightning. And yeah, they're a team that just the Lightning just can't figure out. The Lightning have yeah, such a tough time against them. So I expect them to rise up, barring some just huge collapse of Canadian proportions. What is a team that yeah, you look at that the same way around here? I mean, I like the Canucks too, but at the same time, they haven't done anything to prove otherwise.
Not what for like a team that
could make a jump. Yeah, it could make a jump. And
I do like the Red Wings. They are a young, energetic team. Mo Sider yeah, is a fun dude to watch, man. He is good. I don't know what's going on with the. I think, you know, at some point the Islanders got to figure it out. The Islanders dropped from 12 to 16.
Yeah,
and they're my preseason pick, you know, to make it to the Stanley Cup final against my Avs. So the Avalanche seem to have figured it out over the past couple weeks, and they're playing much better. So I would have to, you know, going off of that, I think the Islanders are not that far behind in trying to figure it out. So I think the Islanders can have a good solid week. I don't know. Let me look up their schedule quickly, but if they do, I think you'll see them rise up. So let's see. They have Montreal, Winnipeg, and Minnesota for this week. Those are their three games for this week. So, you know, Montreal should be good, and they're all away games. Holy crap. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have 6 more away games before they hit. And that's the other side of it. All of these games have been on the road.
Yeah.
For the Islanders. Like, it's like 16 straight games to open the season on the road until your arena is done, which I think it finally is.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to give the Islanders a little bit of leeway because they've been nothing but racking up sky miles. It's been crazy.
Yeah, but the thing with that, and I spoke about this in preseason about them, and this has kind of been the case for them the last couple of years, and you saw it in the playoffs, is that they're a defensive-oriented team, and they don't have that one or two guys that could go out there and score for you on any given night. I mean, they have the second lowest goal scored in the league, and the only team that's behind them is the Coyotes. So, you know, you can't hang your hat on Matt Barzal to be your sole offensive producer. And I think that's the one thing that this front office has overlooked over the last couple of years. I mean, you've brought in some good pieces. You have very good goaltending with two guys in net. But who do you have really could score other than 13 for the Islanders?
Yeah. I mean, if the Coyotes are below you in anything, I mean,
that's bad.
Can't we consider you the worst in the league then? Because you have to kind of eliminate Arizona from everything this year.
That is true.
So if you're number 31 in anything, you are last in the league, in my opinion. So that's not good. All right. So that will wrap it up for this week's power rankings. What do you think? Who's good? Who's bad? Who's in the right spot? If you want to use Adam and I as punching bags, please feel free. Even though you have nothing to do with it singularly. So that will be it for this week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. And I'll if you're, again, on YouTube, I will blow up the power ranking graphic one more time for everybody to take a good look at. But follow the show on Twitter, and follow my show, The Avalanche Show, and follow Adam's Lightning Show on Twitter. And we'll be back next week with a whole nother power ranking. And maybe we'll get it right one of these weeks. I don't know. All right, everybody. Have a good one. See you next week.